We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn to cool in the rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah, two sides of the same. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the will to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the convo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Taro. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Random Conversations, episode 12. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, when you're watching a dating show, reality TV dating show, and screaming at the TV, well, today we've got the person who says what you're thinking out loud, right? She's one of the realest voices in reality TV commentary. And if you watch shows like us, like Married at First Sight, Love Island, Ready to Love, or any of these dating shows, and you're yelling at the screen, she's probably saying exactly what you're thinking. So if you love honest takes, sharp instincts, and zero filter, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show for a random conversation, Miss Tammy Talks.
Thank you. I let my intrusive thoughts win, which isn't always good. So.
That's what everybody wants to hear, though.
Yeah.
It's not always good. But thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. You know, you look at your bio and it will say different things like YouTuber, right? Then it'll say social introvert, which leads me to say somebody who puts their self out there in the front. Most people won't believe you're an introvert. Why?
Unless you know me. So I like to say a social introvert, like when you first meet me, I'm quiet, always been shy. But as I warm up to you, then you have me.
Right.
And then you want me to go back to being an introvert.
What happened to that quiet person I met?
Then you want me to go back. So
now you also said you're a chocolate connoisseur. So, yes. I mean, now I understand that that's a $10 word, connoisseur, but what kind of chocolate are we talking about?
Any of it. Any chocolate, milk chocolate, white chocolate, milk chocolate, all of them.
See, my daughter and I love white chocolate. My wife is like, ugh, how can you? And I'm like, it's the best. What are you talking about?
My dad is obsessed with it. There's a white chocolate version of anything, he wants it. We're like, relax a little bit with it. But chocolate, I think I have bacon aficionado as well.
That's what I was going to ask about, because I'm not a big chocolate person. It's good, okay. But I don't love it like y'all do. But bacon.
Yes. Goes on everything.
Love me some poke.
It goes on everything. All types of bacon. Yes.
Until you put it in cereal, you're not serious.
Well, I'm not going to. I haven't had cereal in so long. Oh, my God.
You know what's interesting about bacon? I like bacon on a lot of things. I don't like it on a loaded baked potato. And I don't like bacon wrapped like in brochettes, because all you really taste is the bacon. You don't get to taste the other stuff. But outside of that, bacon all day. But just those two things, I don't like bacon on them.
Tomato, tomato. Oh, my God. Why don't you want bacon on a baked potato?
Exactly.
I get it fully loaded, just no bacon.
That's not fully loaded then, so.
No, fully loaded. I want everything on it except bacon.
It is overpowering. It is. Yes. I'll give you that. It is.
But it's so good. It's so good.
It is.
You also have sneakerhead.
Yeah.
Favorite sneakers.
Bred 11s.
Now, I'm not a sneakerhead, so I have no idea what that is. I'll be honest.
Jordan.
You know I don't.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jordan's. Okay. Jordan. See?
So I speak in sneakerhead too. They are Jordan 11s. You've seen them. They're the ones that have the patent leather wrapped around.
Okay,
I have loved those shoes since I was a kid. My mom would buy, me and my brother are both sneakerheads. Now, me being a girl, my foot was more affordable for longer than his was. So I got way more shoes than he did. So now that we're grown and I can go buy whatever shoes I want,
See, that's interesting. You say you speak in sneakerhead because you said that, and I was like, huh? Now I'll see it, and I know people who see them and go, oh yeah, that's this, and I'm like, yeah. I have no idea. But I'm also the guy that I remember the first time I went to go buy sneakers with my wife, and I'm like, oh my god, but they're $140, and she's like, and I'm like, they're $140. She's like, buy them. I'm like, no, it's $100. Just buy it.
I won't tell you how much I've spent on shoes. Oh, then.
I couldn't imagine, because the first pair I bought for her, let's see if we're in the same range. First pair of shoes I bought for her, and they're not her most expensive pair. $800.
That should have a red bottom then, right? I would think it has a red bottom.
You would think so. It had the brand name on the side, and it wasn't the normal, you know.
What kind of shoe? That's what I asked him.
I said, "Only thing
was
that
wasn't Gucci. I think it was a Chanel."
But that's different, though. Mm-hmm. That's different. You're gonna pay. You're gonna pay for those. So I have the designer sneakers too, but you're gonna pay for those. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's a sneaker that's a designer sneaker, so you don't really run in it. You don't play ball in it. You hardly wear them, I take it, right? You just probably leave them in the box and just kind of have them?
Well, see, I don't run in my sneakers either. Oh, my God. No.
How dare you say that?
Oh, my God. No. I'm not a person that, like, comes home and I take them out the box and I'm cleaning them. I don't do that. I've always been hard on shoes. I'm a 90s kid. We played. Yeah. So, if a shoe gets dirty, I'll buy it again. But I have so many shoes
I like that. If it gets dirty, I just buy it again.
Just buy it again.
It's a shoe. I don't know. I have a work trip that I'm leaving for Thursday, and I'm trying to pack, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what to pack.
See, this answers that question. You're packing in advance, because, and I think Terrell does too. Me, I'll be packing Wednesday night. To leave Thursday morning.
Typically, I do. Morning typically, I do, but I have two trips. So I have to go visit my brother. Mm-hmm. He's having a baby. So baby shower. Oh, and nice. I'm leaving straight from there to work. So I have to pack for two different cities, two different climates.
Yep. Two different suitcases.
I don't know if my corporate card would be okay with me just checking a bunch of bags. So yeah, right. I have the one, but I bought like a weekender. Okay. And I watched like 25 TikToks to see, and TikTok is, I hate it, but to see if it fits under the seat.
Yeah.
Some people say it do, some say it don't. So we're going to risk it all and see what happens.
Hey, there you go. Risk it all.
I don't deal with the overhead bin. I don't like that.
Why?
Oh, no. Really?
It's too much. I can't do it.
See, I have a hard shell carry-on, and then I found this other carry-on that looks like a backpack, but it fits as much stuff in there as my hard shell carry-on. So technically, that's like 8 to 9 days worth of clothes I can pack in those things.
How many outfits per day, though?
But I'm a guy. It's easy
so,
for me.
I'm like eight to nine outfits.
I'm going to wear these pants twice, three times. I got different shirt or sweater. So it's
pants,
a little bit easier.
Pants are fine. Pants are fine. Yeah. But it's hard for me because I'm corporate. Mm-hmm. Like you guys have heard me say, corporate thugging during the day. So we're at a conference. I have to get dressed.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, then we have to go and, you know, do what we do at conferences. So, and I'm a Wisconsinite, so we drink. So.
And you got to take off the corporate attire for that. Now,
yes, I do.
The corporate thugging in the day, do they know about, you know, the Tammy Talks by night?
It's so crazy. So they found me. So my coworker, it was so funny because I don't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. My best friend does that. We can be out at a bar and she's a social butterfly.
Right.
While I'm social introvert.
Right.
And she'll say, you know, she has a YouTube. And I'm like, shut up. Oh my God. What? But she'll make people subscribe on the spot. And I'm like, if they never watch, YouTube is gonna unsubscribe them. But thank you. So I come into work one day and my coworker is like staring at me as I walk to my desk. And I'm like, what? He said he came home. His partner had me big on the screen watching a recap. He was like, this is not the woman that comes to work. And I'm like, well, I code switch. So yeah. I'm a little different after 4:30. So a lot of them have found me and then it just kind of spreads. One of them was like, I found your TikTok because, you know, we exchanged numbers. And he was like, your TikTok popped up. And then I went to the YouTube and he just went down a rabbit hole. And I'm like, okay.
Do they look at you any different now? Those that have found you?
I don't think they do.
Okay, that's good.
I think.
I can relate to that. So I started a new job last week and it's in the Dallas area. And, you know, my boss is Black. And when I was driving up, I was like, remember I did Ready to Love Dallas? We started getting a lot more followers, I think, from Dallas because of that. And I was like, you know what? I should probably let her know. Hey, heads up, I do a podcast. So we're talking on my day one. I was like, oh, I've been meaning to tell you. I do a podcast. She goes, oh, I know. I saw it. I was like, what? And she saw a TikTok clip that Yanni put up. She's like, wait, he looks familiar. And it could be because the cell phones or whatever, but she saw it. And she was like, no, whatever you do after work, that's your thing. And I was like, whew. It's a little nervous about that.
And I mean, I'm not like sneaking in like a little office, like recording anything. Right. So I don't think they care.
Yeah,
they think
yeah.
you're like, you're an influencer. I'm like, I'm not.
So you have on your YouTube channel, Unapologetically Black, Unapologetically Me.
Yes.
What does that mean?
I am not here to make everybody comfortable.
I like it.
So, and I have a bunch of YouTube friends and we were having a discussion once and they were like, I want everyone to feel welcome on my page. And I was like, I don't. And it sounds rude, but however I talk, because I am unapologetically Black. So I'm going to talk about the current administration. I'm going to talk about the administration we should have had. I'm going to wear my Black t-shirts. I'm going to wear, I didn't go to a HBCU, but I'm going to wear my HBCU t-shirts and I'm going to talk about Black stuff. I'm going to use Black slang. I'm going to use Black jokes. I'm going to use Black movie references.
Yep.
Now, I did watch Friends and I watched Sex in the City, so I'll throw one of those in too. But it's going to be Living Single references and Martin references. And I'm not going to explain it to you because you can go look it up.
You also watched Love Island. My wife was telling me about the fact that a lot of your followers are coming for you because of Love Island. Or like, why you keep doing this? What was going on there? Why were they giving you grief about doing Love Island?
See, I don't look at it as coming for me. So contrary to popular belief, I don't care if people disagree with me. As long as you do it respectfully.
Right.
And a lot of people think that means that they can't disagree. And I'm like, you can't disagree without calling me out my name. That's a you problem. Because when I call you out your name back, then they're talking about me on Reddit and Lipstick Alley and Tammy's so rude. And I'm like, y'all didn't see what they said first. So, oh, my God. No. So the thing with Love Island this past season, there is a woman named Huda that was on there. Huda was extremely problematic to the point where Huda should have been removed from the show.
Right. Huda shoulda.
And I started off a video. Huda shoulda, coulda got removed from the show. And y'all know I cuss in my videos and I'm very me. And she had a big fan base that are younger kids. And I knew that Love Island is full of children when I went into it. But the growth that I got from doing the show the past 3 years is ridiculous. And I really don't care how you feel about me. I said what I said in the video. Like, I would tell people all the time, if you don't like my opinions, that's fine. I will suggest other videos for you. There have been times where I've suggested you guys to people. You're mean, we're ready to love. Go watch them. Go watch this person. Go watch this person. I don't care.
And then they're like, you really don't like us. You sent us to these guys and they're bad too.
I was gonna say, I was like, I'm assuming that's a compliment. It's like, if you don't like me, but then go listen to these dudes. They're
weak. Yeah, and I do that all the time for people. All the time. I'm like, there are so many other channels you can watch. You don't have to watch me. Mm-hmm. YouTubers are a dime a dozen.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. You know, there's,
how many of us do Ready to Love every week? How many of us do The Housewives every week? Like, you can find someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sending my video link to you. You're clicking on the video.
What I do like is the fact that, okay, and I had to explain this to people sometimes, like, you can't make everybody happy. I learned that a long time ago, and I stopped. The second I found out, it was the second I stopped. Because I'm just like, yeah, that ain't going to happen. I'm going to be happy. You're going to choose what you're going to be. So I feel like that's your same energy, too. And Terrell's been the same since the day I met him. But let's see. Right now, you're almost at 48,000 subscribers, 10 million views. But let's go back to the beginning, right?
Okay.
Back to the beginning. What was it? Was it 2011 when you started?
So you did your research. So this is... it's deceiving. So back in 2009, I had an old school blog. Just type it. TammyTalks.com. So you guys remember Rev Run Show, Run's House? Diggy started a blog on the show. And I was like, I can do that. So I started a blog.
Wow.
And that was also back when we had picture mail. So we weren't sending iMessages. There was Instagram was iPhone only, which was divisive, but if I wanted to show my friends something cool that I found or something I thought they would be interested in, we were what was it, like a minute a picture or something like that? Because we were buying minutes. So that was a stressful time. Call me after 9. If you had a job, it was like, call me after 7 when minutes were free. So I started the blog to put stuff on there. And then it slowly turned into me recapping TV shows. Because I would watch YouTube and I'm like, I don't really want to get on camera. I can just type it.
Yeah.
So then it became a point where I'm like, I got a celebrity interview and they wanted to do it on the phone. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. So I had to get the Google Voice number because that will record it.
Yeah.
That will record for them the incoming call. And so I had to put a place to house them. So I started the YouTube channel. And so I uploaded them. And then I'm like, I can talk about some stuff. Did a couple videos. They were controversial because I have that effect, apparently. And I started getting not hate, but like it was some people that liked it. And then some people that were like, this is terrible. And I'm like, okay, I can keep doing this then because my opinion evokes so much emotion out of you. And I don't know why. You don't know these people in the video. So I did it for a couple of years, and then I stopped doing Tammy Talks altogether. Huge issue with the domain name, whatever. So I came back to it when Power was on. The original Power, not on these.
The good one before they got to season 5, yeah.
Yeah, so I was doing that, and that's when I feel like Black TV was everywhere. We had Power back when Empire was good, but we had Power, Empire, Insecure was on, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. So I put on Facebook, I want to do a podcast to talk about all these shows. So a good friend of mine from high school, we started the podcast. I'm corporate, she's a teacher. So we have very different schedules.
Right.
I do not work after 4:30 unless I'm traveling for work. I don't do weekends. 7 o'clock, she's grading papers. So the scheduling was too much. And then she is the epitome of social butterfly. So it would be times like, I'm going to happy hour. I can't film today. And I'm like,
we got a commitment.
Yeah, so I ended up moving away from that, and I started to do a solo podcast myself. But then I'm like, I don't know who's listening.
Right.
Because it's hard to really do metrics and you don't make money podcasting. Right. So I watched Forest Rocks. I was always been a huge fan of her. Ashley Miller, the Scorpion show. So I put on Instagram, if I started doing videos, who would watch? And those three were all like me. And I was like, well, shit, okay. So, and I had built relationships with them because when I had the blog, I would reach out to YouTubers. Hey, can I post your video? Right. Do you mind if I post your recap? So I think when I came back, that was, I want to say 2021. Mm-hmm. So it was after the pandemic. Yes, because we were stuck in the house. So it was after the pandemic where we were like slowly going back outside, but it's still like, make sure I got an extra mask with me. Mm-hmm. So I think the first video I did was growing up hip hop. Mm-hmm. I think it got like 15 views.
Right.
Four of which I swear were me, because I would go on and be like, no one watched yet. Okay, that's fine. So I think four of it was me. And then I started doing the circle.
Yeah. I remember the circle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back when it was good. It's weird now.
It is. It is interesting when you first start. And this, it's the telling time for a lot of people doing content, because it's like nobody's watching and everybody can see that nobody's watching. And you're like, I remember just the first time we got past 100 views, I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But it's the stick-to-itiveness that makes it, that's what kind of does it. So, and look at you now in what, less than 4 years, almost 48,000 subscribers.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. It's weird. Mm-hmm. It's a little weird whenever people are like, I've been waiting for you. I'm like, why? Why?
Why like, do you like this?
Yeah, and I tell people, like, y'all just let me say anything on here and y'all hype it up in the comments. But it's fun. It's irritating at times. Mm-hmm. But, and then it's hard because I am corporate. So, like, weeks like this where I have, like, a 5 a.m. flight, all these shows that I'm doing are on this week. And I'm like, do I skip a week? Do I take my laptop with me? But then I have a whole, it's not like a fancy setup, but like I use a teleprompter.
Yeah.
So I'm like, now I have to go back to like holding my, like, we'll see what happens.
And the fact that you do it by yourself is because if one of us drops out, the other one's like, oh, crap. So the fact that you do it by yourself, I commend you for that, because I respect anybody that gets on and can just talk, because that's not the world I was in. It was get as much in a short period of time as possible. So the fact that, you can do that, kudos.
And I don't edit because I'm lazy. So whatever happens, whatever happens in the video happens. So I've misspoke. I've said words wrong. And I'm like, did I say that? There was like one video, like a piece of paper just fell from I don't know where. So I jump and I'm like, sorry, guys.
But that's what people like, the realness.
Yeah, I live like by a fire station. So you'll hear sirens. I'm like,
yeah.
I live by a train. You'll hear the train. I'm like, we'll just ignore it.
Yeah.
But the train track is a couple blocks away. And, you know, when they blow, they blow. So it's like, get off the tracks. I'm doing something. So
so you said you started with shows like Power and Empire and all those different, black shows that were going on. What made you transition into the dating shows? What was it that got you into that world?
Actually, my brother. So him and his wife would always watch Married at First Sight. I had never seen it. I had started watching Love is Blind because that was a pandemic show for real. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is such a nice show. We got a couple like couples out of this. This is great. And then season two came. But season two was a doozy. But it was my brother. So he's like, you should watch Married at First Sight. And one thing that I want my channel to be is I want to be that black voice for shows that don't have a lot of black content creators talking about it. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I'm not saying I was the first black Married at First Sight person, because I know I wasn't, but there weren't a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I can talk about this and I can be as casual with it. And shows like The Bachelor, you don't see a lot of black content creators doing certain shows.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're watching him.
We'll never do it again after he made me do the first one. When what's that black guy's name?
You stop it. Why do you tell this lie every single time?
You don't want to do what? The Bachelor?
Yeah, I can't.
I can't do it.
I never liked The Bachelor. I hated that show. Only reason to watch it because he made a deal with the devil to not watch reality TV until they made a Black Bachelor. Pandemic
came. I remember you guys saying that.
That's exactly how it happened.
You were as good as Trump. Like, you spin the truth in these ways.
So that means you're going to vote for me?
Yeah, you just spin the truth in these ways. I'm like, goodness. Yeah, no, I don't like them. I don't like reality shows, to be honest. I really don't. We fell into this and started with The Bachelor. And I said I would never watch The Bachelor because they've never had a Black Bachelor. So when they had one, you got this guy over here said, we should recap. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. She said, no, but he picked, do it.
He picked a white woman, right?
Yeah. Which we knew he would.
Yeah. Well, because I always thought that'd be an interesting deal. Like, you look at all the type of women they would have. What would he pick? Because they always have like at least two black women when it's a white bachelor. They always make it to the second day and it's like, I'm sorry, I just didn't get a chance to get to know you. And they boot them off the second. Never the first day, always day two.
Yeah, you gotta
because you don't want to look away.
Yeah, you don't want to look away.
I've never been a bachelor girl. I loved the Golden Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really interesting with the older women because they were catty to a whole different level.
I'm sure.
And it was, I thought they were going to fight one episode, like physically fight. Wow. I'm like, y'all are like 80. Oh my God.
I think nobody wants to see a bunch of 70, 80 year olds make out. Like that's why I think it wasn't I didn't think it was that successful because of that.
No, it wasn't successful because he came out to be like a fraud.
Yeah, I did read about that.
Yeah, like fraud. But I think they had more. The season wasn't as long. It wasn't as many. Yeah. It was more like emotional connections, which was cute to watch. Yeah. But then it's like, wow, you just got your heart broken at 78. Like, this is awful.
It'll never be repaired now.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, you're like a two-time widow, and then now your heart gets broken because he didn't pick you. It's like, oh my God, Jesus.
So, there are a lot of horror stories, but what do dating shows get right about relationships that people don't want to admit?
I think it exposes what to look for when the mask drops.
Mm.
So, plus, I think so many people are in love with the idea of love.
Yes. Yeah.
And we see that a lot on Ready to Love. but I think Married at First Sight exposes that a lot, too.
Yeah.
People think they're ready for marriage, and then they get on there, and it's like, oh, my God, your toilet paper goes under, not over. And then that was like the
that
end
is
of
a good
world.
Reason to divorce, though.
It should go over.
It should go over, exactly.
It should go over.
100%. But you need that negativity in your life.
But, like, they'll do that, and then they'll be like, I just realized I'm not ready. And I'm like, what? So I think it kind of exposes, like, marriage. People think marriage is easy, and it's not. No. And I'm not married, and I know that. Like, right. Marriage is not, it's not easy work the way that people think it is.
At all.
It also exposes how crazy people are.
That's true.
There's a lot of weirdos out here. And when you're truly a weird person, you can only hide it for so long.
Yeah.
Or when you have anger issues, or you're goofy, or you're just not the brightest, you can only hide it for so long.
True.
And I think these shows expose it because they want to talk about the deepest stuff on the first date.
Right. Okay, so out of all the shows you watch, which one would you say is the most realistic when it comes to dating, and which one is the biggest lie?
The most realistic? Honestly, I would say Ready to Love.
I was going to say that.
It's Ready to Love because... Really? Realistically, you are dating multiple people at one time.
True.
Yeah.
You're dating multiple people. The only difference is they typically don't know each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or know about each other. But the average person is dating 2 to 3 people. So you dating 2 to 3 people, getting closer to some, going deeper with others, that's the most realistic.
That is a great point, because you're right. Most people are dating multiple people. Dang. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So probably why I kept making the date with my wife every time the date was over. Make the next date so she couldn't make another date with somebody else.
She still could have.
She could have, but she didn't.
Could have.
That I know of, at least.
That you know of. You know.
But do they got to, like, I guess it's more realistic dating, 100% agree. But I still go back to the cast because not many women date people that don't have a place to live. Not many people take people with five kids by four different women. It's just not many people would do that.
I sure wouldn't.
But there are people who would.
But there are women that would, but I would not.
But they're probably not dating multiples because it can't be that many of those folks in the same city.
Obviously, you've never watched Paternity Court.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So after watching a lot of these dating disasters and a lot of these reality shows, has it changed, you know, how you dated in your life when you started getting into these?
No. No.
It's like simple. No.
No. No. Because I feel like I think it just exposes, and this is going to sound bad, but how desperate some women are.
Yeah.
And how cavalier some men are.
Yeah.
Case in point, Ready to Love, where was her name? Tay? Was it Tay? Was dating Cisco.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God. And it's like you have this job, you're what, a nurse in I can't say it, antithesis, whatever she was, it was high up there as a nurse.
Anesthesiologist, I think is what she was, yeah.
It wasn't that, because that's what a lot of people said that in the recaps. It wasn't that.
Okay.
But it was something, and it'll come to me later. But you're this accomplished, you have this going for yourself, and then you want to date the man that sweats profusely. Like, I don't understand it. That alone would have turned me off. Like, why are you always moist? Why are you always wet?
And not in the good way.
And not in the good way. Like, I don't want your sweat on me every time you greet me to hug me. Like, that in itself was concerning, but I think when it comes to men, like we're seeing now with Ready to Love, men play a lot of games. Look at Steven. Steven played in everybody's face the past couple weeks.
Did he though?
Yes.
Yeah.
He did. Yes. And I was rooting for Steven, but yes, Steven has played in everybody's face.
Okay. Yeah, he did.
We can debate that one.
So played in everyone's face.
So speaking of dating disasters, Married at First Sight, what are your thoughts on the expert shakeup that's going to happen?
So I'm on an island with this, and I know the experts are not the problem.
No, they're not.
Right.
I thought that majority, I would say 90, and this might be too high, 90% of their matches are what they ask for on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you can't control someone's personality.
Yes.
Right.
So we couldn't control Aris being a weirdo.
Right.
Couldn't control that. Mm-hmm. We couldn't control Michael. We didn't know Michael was going to switch. What was it? Was it Michael and Madison?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Y'all little Dave friends? Was it them?
Yeah, it's David and Madison. That
David, that's his name.
But was David and Michelle was the first first one. And, yeah.
Yeah, like we can't control that David was going to fall for Madison.
Right.
Like, we can't control any of that, and the experts can't foresee that, or just some of them just being insufferable people.
And to the experts' defense, and I think Terrell pointed this out when I first forced him to watch Married at First Sight, because I've watched every season of this show.
Have you? I started, like, season 8, I think.
See, I started, like, season 4 or 5. And I went back and watched 1, 2, and 3, and I was like, interesting, because I was just intrigued by the concept. And the minute I went back to watch 1, 2, and 3, I was like, oh, there's a formula to this. And I realized in the beginning they had the couple that was immediately attracted, the couple that hated each other, and the couple that ain't going to do nothing. It was literally these three. And then they would switch halfway through, and that was it, right? And it was different because they were all separate. Well, now what it is, to your point, the experts, what they're looking for in each one, and if you really pay attention to why they matched each other, match each couple, you'd realize it's to build up the strength that you're weak in.
Yes. Right.
So you're weak in this part. They have this person who's strong in that portion. So you can, you know, be whole. And people just don't like to conform, plain and simple.
And I mean, there are some times where they're like, she says she don't want a bald guy. Y'all gave her a bald man. Yes. Stuff like that is kind of like somebody with hair applied. But outside of little things like that, they're giving these people what they asked for.
Yeah.
They'll say, I want someone that's going to challenge me.
Yeah.
So they'll get a woman that's overly assertive, mm-hmm. that doesn't take mess, and then now you just can't take it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you'll say, you want a sensitive man, and now he's crying every episode, and then now you can't take it. So, like, they're giving you what you want, but you can't control how people are going to act on True. TV. So...
If you could keep just one of the experts, because they've gotten rid of all three, it looks like. Dr.
Which Pepper, is shocking. Yeah.
Dr. Pia and Pastor Troy, as Terrell calls him, Pastor Cal. If you had the choice, you're like, okay, we got to keep at least one. Who would you keep?
I would keep Dr. Pia.
Yes.
Mm. She's younger. She relates more. Dr. Pepper doesn't live with her husband. Mm. So
True.
Realistically, how are you helping anybody?
But is she happy?
Who knows? They're not talking about their marriages.
Yeah.
True. Dr. Pepper and her childish name bother me because why do you go by Dr. Pepper? Your last name is Schwartz. Why aren't we calling you Dr. Schwartz?
Well, that's not Dr. Ruth.
It's childish. And I think Pastor Cal, while he gave good advice sometimes, mm-hmm. he was misogynistic.
Mm. Mm. Why do you say that?
And he's old fashioned.
He is.
Like, he's very, very old fashioned. But a lot of stuff that he said was misogynistic.
Okay. He can't be that old fashioned considering, because he was just on with Girlfriends and Goals podcast, and he said on there that his current wife is a second wife, and they got married 6 months after they started dating.
That's not that can't old be old-fashioned. I think he has more old-fashioned thinking. You can get married after a week and still be old-fashioned. Okay. I think he's old-fashioned in, like, his approach.
Mm.
Like, everything. And this is what has bothered me about all of these experts. Everything is, have you guys slept together yet? Have you slept together yet?
Right. That
consummating doesn't help everything.
It helps a little bit.
It helps a little bit in the moment.
Unless it's bad.
But gets you to the next moment. You see what I mean?
How many couples have we seen consummate which knows the need for an annulment and makes them get a divorce, for one? True. But how many people has it really helped?
Mm. Good point.
Last season, Brittany and Will, they consummated. Look how that went.
Yeah.
Yeah, but took the stress off of Will a little bit. You know.
Did it? That man was stressed the entire season.
He sure not, afterwards. Not afterwards.
Not after, but
yeah, not after. He's like, in the next 10 minutes, I feel great.
No, he didn't, because he didn't want. Yeah, that's a whole other story. We'll leave that one alone.
But yeah, I would keep Dr. Pia because I think she's just like, I thought Devon Franklin was good when he was on there because mm-hmm. they're younger.
Yeah, and nobody wants to hear Devon Franklin after he gave up Megan Good, though.
She went to Jonathan Majors, so okay. like...
True, never mind.
She's not the best judge of character. So...
When you look at dating now, right? And even if you just go back 15 years ago, right? Well, it's... Because everything's so much out in the open. Is it harder now than it was then when you could hide all the sneaky stuff you were doing?
Well, 15 years ago, I was in my 20s. Uh-huh. So it was very different because we're not. So I'm millennial. Mm-hmm. So I'm attached to my phone.
Yeah.
But I can also not have it and be perfectly fine. Like, I don't post a lot of personal stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we came up in an era where we didn't.
Right.
Mm. No one ever knows who I'm dating or when I'm dating them. Ever. Yep. I don't change my Facebook status. Mm-hmm. When I remember I have a Facebook, every time I start dating someone, if it's weird, I don't put it's complicated. So,
dear God, I hated that.
I hate it now when I see it. I'm like, we are in our 40s. Why are you doing that? Break up and be done with it. But I think it's different because people are so addicted to the apps that people lack social skills.
True.
And so when you lack social skills, it makes dating just like, what is wrong with you?
Mm. That is a good point.
Preach.
And I talk for a living because I work in communications. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like, talk, open your mouth, use
Sound
your
like
words.
Somebody I know who's when he's meeting people, like, oh my God, they won't say anything.
it's so painful because they'll have in their profile, and if we match, you know, don't just wave or put WID. Ask me some questions, get to know me, that's how I do it because I work in recruiting. I'm good at asking questions. And I ask them a question, I get a response that's a couple lines, no question back. Like if we're out and about and I'm like, hey, Tammy, how you doing? You're gonna say, Terrell, I'm doing well. How are you? And now we go back and forth, like a conversation should happen. But so many people are just awful at it. And I'm just like, I don't have the patience for all that. I give you a couple of messages, I'm like, unmatch.
Okay. I don't like small talk at all. Don't ask me my favorite color. Don't ask me my favorite flower. Stuff like that comes out in conversation.
Right. Exactly.
But what do you do? Do you match on the app and go, hey, Tammy, I'm Terrell. Glad we match. Tell me about your relationship with your dad.
No, but like there are ways to have conversations. So talking now, right? You guys can see my background.
Yeah.
So what made you pick this color? Oh, even though pink is my favorite color, I picked this one because it pops better.
Right.
I got the idea from talking. Like, there are ways that you can incorporate stuff in there. I use this color. Lilies are my favorite flowers. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because this color is in the middle of a lily. Like, there are ways that you can get more stuff out.
Isn't that small talk adjacent, though? Isn't that small talk adjacent?
It's not, though. Small talk is, so what's your favorite color? What type of music do you listen to?
What type of movies do you watch?
Yeah, like, don't ask me that.
But what's your favorite color? And you say pink, and I'm like, oh, really? Why is it pink? And then you're like, oh, well, because of X. And then
but that's now not that's small a- talk, though. Small talk to me is, what's your favorite shoe, right? Mm-hmm. And then I say, oh, Brad 11. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, so what's your favorite color then?
Oh,
pink.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what's your favorite color? And it's like, okay, like
20 questions.
Or we could have just started a conversation about something random.
Mm-hmm.
And within there, I would have given you the answer to probably 5 of those.
Yeah,
very true. And that's when you start writing all those notes in the notes section of the contact so you have them later because you'll forget pink.
there's a way to do small talk and then there's a way to do small talk. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like if it can lead to another conversation, it's fine. But don't come at me like you're interviewing me because I'm not going to respond. I will stop responding.
I don't think I've ever done that. Asking people like, what's your favorite color? What's this? I want to say it was months before I knew my wife's favorite color. And just because I don't think to ask that kind of question.
Me either.
Because we had much deeper conversations.
See? I'm going to ask, what type of restaurants do you like? And if they're like, oh, I like Applebee's, well, unmatch. We're not the same.
Not Applebee's.
He used to work there. He opened a bunch of Applebee's. This is what's so crazy about it.
Not Applebee's.
Used to.
I haven't been to Applebee's in years.
Back in the day, it was good. Remember when Subway first came out? It was amazing. Now, it's not that great.
I'm in Wisconsin, so I don't do Subway.
Mm.
Because we have better sub restaurants.
Like what?
Cousins.
Okay, that's a Wisconsin thing.
It's a Wisconsin thing. It might be one in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're ever in Wisconsin, go to Cousins.
Okay.
Way better than Subway. So I've been to Subway maybe once in my life.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the worst person to go to Subway because I just want the bread, the meat, and the cheese.
Childish. Okay.
Yes, and it's fine.
You need a vegetable on there.
No, let me explain something to you real quick.
See,
I went into this restaurant, Gringo's, right? And if they do like the burritos, like a Chipotle. And I'm telling the guy what I want in my burrito. And he's like, what are you, five? I'm like, yes, now make my damn burrito.
Now, I don't think you should be questioning what anybody gets. Your job is to make the food.
Exactly, just make it.
It's just ridiculous. Everyone else's burrito looks like a big old blunt. Your burrito looks like a little joint.
Yes, exactly.
So Tammy, we got off topic. If you could give one piece of dating advice to all of us single people who watch these shows religiously, what would it be?
Be yourself. Mm. I think far too often, especially women, we have a tendency to transform ourselves into what our guy likes. What he enjoys and what he wants, as opposed to he liked you initially because you were you.
Yes.
So, which is why I always say I'm unapologetically me, because either you hate me or you love me. There are very few people in the middle with me.
Right.
You either hate me or you absolutely love me. Either way is fine. But...
something all three of us have in common.
Yeah. I mean, my YouTube comments prove that daily. So yeah.
And to your point, that is actually great advice. And I'll say that because the simple fact is, if you just try to do things to appease the other person, even in the beginning, they're building this image of you that this is what you like. And then when they're expecting that later, it's not there. And there are things that you just like, remember, we're doing all these things and I'm like, all right, let's go do this one more. He's like, no. I am not moving. I was like, are you serious? I mean, no. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. You got to set your own boundaries to your point. Be yourself. Know that I'll try this. I'm not doing that. Yeah. Good point. A couple more things before we get out of here. And just want to know, because I'm hoping it's not the same answer as everybody likes to give. But your favorite reality TV villain... or biggest reality TV villain, I should say.
Favorite villain?
Favorite or biggest reality TV villain? Reality TV dating show villain.
Oh, dating show. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Might not be a villain, but I'm going to say Chelsea from Love is Blind. I called her a bit goofy. I can't remember what season she was on. I don't know what season we're on now, but she was like two seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she looked like Megan Fox.
That made her a villain. That definitely made her a villain.
And people were like, she does. I'm like, she does not.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with weight or anything. Mm-hmm. She just does not look like her.
Right.
So I'll say her.
Okay. At least I swear I was like, okay, everybody's always trying to say Chris from season 12.
Of Married at First Sight?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to do. I was like, hoping you wouldn't say that one.
It's an unpopular opinion about that.
Mm-hmm.
Paige was just as much of a villain as he was, because one, you allowed him to treat you like that and you kept going back.
Yes.
You kept going, like, she was begging. He bought that other woman a car and was like, basically, I don't like you. And she was still like, God put us together. And I'm like, oh, my God.
God and Pastor Cal put us together.
Yeah. But shout out to her. I think she had a baby and she's married now.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And she's happy now. So she's good. And he's moved on, obviously.
Sure. Sure.
Favorite reality TV love story?
From Married at First, like from just dating shows?
From dating shows. Dating shows.
I'm going to say Woody and Imani.
Ooh, that's a good one. He doesn't know them, but that was New Orleans. And
because the crazy part, and I don't know if you know this, but I guess it was like a week or two before the show, he said that he was just out at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And she happened to be the bartender. And they had like met and they were both like, oh my God, like you're cute, whatever. Uh-huh. But they knew that they had signed up for the show. Wow. So they never like made a move on anybody or on each other.
Yeah.
And then ended up being matched.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I think they're the only people from Married at First Sight I follow on Instagram.
That's right, because they're still doing a lot of blogs and whatnot. Hey, I like them. They were good. That season was one that you would watch and get your faith back in the show, Tara.
You think so?
Until he saw Miles and Karen. And then it's like, oh.
Nope, exactly what I thought.
At First Sight, yes. I think outside, and that was the COVID season. So they actually got stuck in COVID. So they were forced to be together for like an extra month or 2 months or something.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. COVID did them in.
Yeah, that kind of did them in. If you had to go on one of these dating shows.
if I had to, I would go on... I would go on Ready to Love because then that way I don't have to live with a stranger that I probably really don't like. Because you go home.
Yeah, that is true. I didn't think about it that way.
And I think you can self-eliminate.
Can you?
Yeah, somebody's done it before. The one that I was really attracted to, that Dallas season.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The show was. Yeah.
We've seen a number of people go home on Ready to Love. They get up out of there quick.
Yeah, like, this ain't it. Mm-hmm. Hey, Tammy, it has been a pleasure. I am glad we're able to sit down and chop it up with you and learn a little bit more about the pink lilies that you love in your life.
See? And you learned that without small talk.
And we learned about, did you say the bread 11s?
Yes, I need you both Google them.
Okay, I will. I actually will. I will. As a matter of fact, I'll do it right now as I say this. Where can everybody find you, Tammy?
I am Tammy Talks everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Any and everywhere you can find someone, I am Tammy Talks. Outside of Tumblr, but I don't know if Tumblr is still a thing.
No, is it? Yeah, that's a good... By the way, I do like these. See? I always like these. These are nice. But I will say, I did spell it wrong. I spell it bread.
Do you know what bread means?
You didn't tell me that it was the past tense of breed.
It's not. It's black and red. So the colorway of black and red bread.
Well, it should be like bright because there's white in there too.
No. Nope. Yeah. We don't care about the white in there. They're bread. Bread 11s.
Unapologetically bread.
Yeah. Yes. That's one way to do it.
Tammy, thanks a lot for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime. Hey, I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, at RGRT Pod, and on IG at The RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit by the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool in the rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah. Two sides of the same. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Sports got us heated, yeah, the refs missed the calls. Politics, man, we'll argue till the walls fall. Pop culture don't get us started on trends, but the laughter, my dude, that's where it all ends. You say tomato, I say nah, bro, it's time motto. You think we clashing? Nah, it's the dance of bravado. No winners, no losers, just stories to share. So pass me that bottle and pull up a chair. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the convo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.